everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Home of Houseplants, the podcast. We are still on the road in Queensland, and I have the pleasure of joining Jim Edwards today in his beautiful garden in the Tambourine region of the Gold Coast. It's the hinterland region of the Gold Coast. Jim Edwards, welcome.
Thanks, Joe, and welcome to Tambourine Tropicals.
Oh, it's beautiful, Jim. I am on the drive here, just drove past hundreds of small acreages filled with horse paddocks and wooded gums, and got very jealous.
It's a lovely part of the world.
You do live in paradise, as do most people in Queensland. We're sitting in your carport on a early evening on a weekday, and I'm just surrounded by stunning caladiums everywhere, full colours of the rainbows, and had a tour of Jim's collection. Jim, can you tell me a bit about Tambourine Tropicals and how you got started? When did you start?
Well, I started collecting about 15 years ago with aroids, seriously. No interest in plants because I lived in Canberra most of my life, and it was really only roses and not much you can grow down there, so I had zero interest in plants. And moved to Queensland about 99, and doing demolition, I'd see a lot of these beautiful, colourful plants that I later knew to be crotons and cordylines getting squashed with the excavator and taken to the dump. So I started to rescue them and bring them home and put them in pots, and that's really what kick-started my love of tropical plants.
When you moved to Queensland, was it always the Gold Coast area, or have you been elsewhere?
No, it was a Brisbane area when I first moved.
So you just see these plants, are heartbroken by what was being trashed, and save them.
Yep, cycads and all sorts.
Filled up your yard. And so then how did you end up on this acreage, you know, just outside the Gold Coast? It's stunning.
Well, we rented for a while, so I had 50 plants, then 100 plants, then 200 plants, all in pots, and just moved them from house to house as we rented around, and bought in Brisbane, and this was bought as an investment property, and eventually I moved out here.
Yes, you've got the room to grow. I can see some shade houses down there, but with this climate here, you can obviously just propagate on the veranda and just simply under shade cloth. You haven't got the frost issues that southern states have.
No frost issues, but we do get down to zero.
I have heard this, yeah.
Probably 14 to 21 days under 5 degrees during winter, maybe a bit more.
And I've heard from another fellow gardener that you can still get away with it because it's only such a discrete period of time. Is that right?
That's right. It's not it's not months of under 5. One of the greenhouses down there I do cover in plastic during the winter time to keep the temperatures and humidity up.
You know, obviously how you described the story earlier, you're not specifically like Neil Crafter, philodendron man. You know, I often mention that's the yardstick. Neil is a purist for philodendrons. I'm surrounded by bromeliads, every colour of the rainbow in caladiums. You're open to anything provided it appeals to you?
Yes, as long as I like it. I like the different, I like the unusual, and that's what got me into mainly aroids over 15 years ago when Facebook wasn't around. We had the forums on computers. So that's where I met Michael Pascal and another guy. We just, you know, started to swap, and I learned a lot about the tropical plants, the identification, how to identify them, and that sort of got me rolling from there.
Tell me a bit about those days. It's fascinating. I know when I spoke to Neil Crafter, he spoke of the days in the late 80s and 90s where he'd actually have to write letters to people in Queensland, North Queensland, asking if they had certain plants and wait for a letter response, and then you'd send a check or a money order and they'd post you the plants. What were those days like, 15, 20 years ago when you first met Michael Pascal, and you'd stumble across a forum online and just talk?
Correct. And you'd message each other and you'd see the posts on the forum. And what mainly got me into aroids was I bought a bird's nest anthurium.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved the shape, and I didn't know what an aroid was, but I just knew it was different to me. And so I went on these forums, and I ended up seeing a guy called Stephen Lucas from Exotic Rainforest website.
Yep.
And when he was alive, we used to liaise daily by email and by these the forums, and then UBC Botanical Forum, we'd ask them to do a special aroid forum because they had their different groups.
Yes, of course.
So we started that. And because Steve had so much access to aroid botanists that he knew things would get identified, and, you know, that's how I learned how to key out the species and measure the peduncle and the berries, and as time-consuming that was, only to go down one path and realise in the end that wasn't their species, and you can try another 73 more if you desire.
Oh, yeah. It's sometimes I'll think back, you know, should you have studied botany or all that, but I think online now you can really self-educate yourself with so many resources that you don't need that, you know, horticultural botany degree, but it is a rabbit hole, absolutely. But it would have been a fairly small group of people, you know, back then, if we're going back on those forums, you know.
There was, and Larry Ann Garner, she was part of it as well, and just other people that had a special interest.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess it was just Facebook on a different sort of platform.
Yeah. The Aroid Society didn't exist then, because that's only a new, you know, it's 3 years old, I think, now, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it was happening in the 80s.
Right, okay, I didn't realise that. So it did exist in the 80s. That was a bit before your time, though, Jim? So fast forward now, we've got a huge boom in what, I'm going to use that generic, that collective term, indoor plants. You must sit back and just be a bit amazed for various reasons. It can only be a good thing to start off with, the popularity of plants, to see younger people take on the hobby. What do you make of it? I'm interested to know. I always ask this question from...
Well, I was the younger person.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Years ago, so a lot of people like this young fellows, you know, getting into it, but these days I'm not the young person anymore.
Yeah.
And it's good to see the young people getting into it. And I think things have changed as well for density on housing. There's a lot of units these days, or townhouses, whereas, you know, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, everyone had their own house, say.
Yep.
And, of course, with social media, people are seeing a lot more plants posted. I don't know what your Facebook feed's like, but mine's just full of plants.
Yeah.
So everyone gets to see a more variety of plants that are there in your face. And, of course, people just... you see, you want, and then you inquire and take it further. So I just think the sheer volume of variety of indoor plants, inverted commas, filling your face every day as you see it, and if you can get a hold of them and that's what you want, then you prepare people, as I am, are prepared to pay the money to have that plant.
Jim, what was it like, you know, just jumping back for a second, 15 years ago, when you really got into it, when you were saving them from the demolition sites, were there more nursaries around back then in the Brisbane area?
There was a lot more little nurseries around that had a lot more variety, and Bunnings and other places.
Yeah.
You see these nurseries go by the wayside.
Yep.
And those little nurseries, when you go for a drive on a Sunday or a Saturday, you call in there, you would find little treasures that you didn't even know what they were, but you knew that they were something.
Yes.
Because you didn't see it. And these days, with it's like a list that you could print out, and you go to nearly every nursery and you can see every single same plant that comes from tissue culture everywhere you go, and it's pretty disappointing.
It is pretty disappointing. I mean, I even, the first time I came to Brisbane 2 years ago, in the recent times, was shocked at how few came up on the Google search, and the common names, and I'm going to do a podcast episode about that, just how I did go out to visit Oxley Nursery. The only ones that are really coming up in discussions are Oxley Nursery. Did have a look at Templex. Templex was a beautiful little nursery in Brisbane. Quirky. You really have to hunt around, and I love that you don't know what's around the corner. Still a lot of the common plants that you'll see most nurseries these days, but it's a very sad thing. I know in Adelaide, being taken to the backyard of people that would have home nurseries in the backyard in the 80s, and they'd be scattered everywhere, and they just don't exist. And I think that people are craving that diversity. I think that's driving the demand.
I agree, but that gap has been filled by people personally selling
private sellers
on Facebook page, and that's filled a hole.
And I think it also gets enables, because I don't think established nurseries, and it doesn't mean that they shouldn't get those prices, but people's expectations about prices generally are quite an expectation of low prices, because Bunnings has trained the customer base to expect cheap prices, or what I like, reasonable prices. And that's why you can't get the diversity, because they're worth more than $9.95, $19.95. It's interesting. I think that nursery culture breeds that, and I think online sellers can differentiate themselves from that. How long have you been doing Tambourine Tropicals then? And what led you into setting it up and selling? Is it to, like for me, fund your own addiction to buy more plants? Was
pretty much. When I lived in Brisbane, I was into collecting then. The most I spent on a plant on eBay was $50, and I was pretty shocked to actually do that probably 10 years ago. So I was collecting there and just planting in the garden. I had thoughts of selling at a later stage, but I didn't have the setup there. And I probably had a plant hiatus for a year or so there. When sold there and came out here, that reignited selling part of it. And, of course, I lost a few plants, a few special ones, obviously with my hiatus. And when I moved here, some didn't survive. So just moving to a new spot and having so much property, that drove me to plant more. Therefore, I need more plants. So I thought aroids weren't even that popular, and I just thought I can sell it at a reasonable price and pay for more plants to get to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to fund the addiction.
You are primarily, and forgive me, Jim, I know I do follow you on Facebook. Facebook is the main way that you sell your plants. Is that right? You'll do a post?
The only way.
The only way. Yep. So you'll do, typically, and you can best describe it better than I can, but you'll, on a semi-regular basis, will put up a post with maybe 8 different plants, and you might have 2 in one batch, 4 in the other, and people will just comment sold, or, I'll take plant A or plant B.
That's correct. So I might say, plant A, I have 5 available, and I might do 20 posts of that, or one only.
Yep.
I think the maximum is 30 photos you can do on a post.
Yep.
So I might do 20 to 30, something like that, and then I share that post, as opposed to putting up 20 to 30 plants individually as a private seller.
And because, Jim, you actually have a day job, a full-time day job, that so this is something that you have to do in and around your other primary responsibilities, and so you've have been very regular, and sometimes life intervenes and you have to take a hiatus for a week or 2 or 3, but you are quite consistent, and if people do want to buy your plants, Jim, it's best to follow your page, isn't it, Tambourine Tropicals?
Yes, like and follow the page and check up every now and again, because Facebook obviously works on algorithms, and if you don't interact with the page, then it doesn't appear on your feed.
Yeah.
So I usually post Saturday or Sunday, weekly or fortnightly, depending on the season, or 2 to 3 weeks, just whenever I can and want to, I put something up there, and I try to keep a bit of variety on there.
Yeah, you do. Like, as I said, I've seen there was a Facebook Memories post from a couple of years ago when Venturium Vitiis were a lot less than what they have been getting recently, and people were saying, Jim, any of those prices, and Vitiis are a lot more than $50 now.
Exactly.
And you've just got to stay alive with the market. But you haven't been tempted by eBay or anything like that, Jim? It is quite a pricey platform to sell on. Is it just your preference? Facebook Marketplace is not Marketplace. Facebook's easy, isn't it?
I've always dabbled with the idea of eBay for maybe special ones to put up auctions. I was pretty anti-eBay because of the prices that were charged probably 8 to 10 years ago. And that's why I just went with Facebook only. I don't have a website. I don't put it on eBay. And that's that.
And I should clarify, there's a Facebook page that's a rare tropical plant, something. You're not on there either. You just purely stick to your own page and we'll do posts.
I am on there, and some of the pages you're not allowed to sell as a business, and some of the pages you are.
Yes, that's true, actually. So thank you.
On that particular page, if I post some items, that's from a personal perspective.
Yeah, right.
You're not allowed to advertise as a business. So it's just whatever page, whatever rules, it just work with that.
What are you planning to do, Jim? I guess, again, you have to do this around your day job. Are you planning just to carry on as you are? What are your future What are you thinking of for Tambourine Tropicals going forward? Have you got anything major in the works? Are you going to put up another shade house on your giant acreage that you have here, Jim? Or what's coming up in the next 12 months, or just propagating up a storm?
Just continue to propagate, probably concentrate onto the garden again now.
Yep.
Just consolidate what we've got. Being on tank water only, it's a bit of an issue to be going crazy, otherwise we've got to pay to get water. If it doesn't rain, like weekly or fortnightly, and that can become expensive. So I guess now from recent events, we just want to consolidate the garden and continue on. The business has been growing since I started 5 years ago.
There is only so much you can do when you really just perhaps yourself and your partner might be able to help you from time to time, but it can only grow so much before it impacts other areas of your life, and you've got to have a balance as well. There is only so much time in the day. What do you see in terms of trends? I think we spoke briefly when I first arrived about your beautiful Caladium collection. Gee, they're really taking off. 2020, late, I noticed a spike late last year, late 2019, sort of the last quarter of the year. And most recently, I think maybe 2020 is the year of the Caladium. What do you think, Jim?
Well, yeah, maybe 2021 as well. I noticed that last season, 18, 19,
yeah,
noticed an increase in, and there's such a cycle as well, like they're sort of such a 7-inch plant. Every cycle just continues to be the cycle. So who knows? Aroids have been going pretty well for, I don't know, 4 years
yep,
now.
Yep.
And because they're just so diverse and different with their foliage and their colours and sparkly, I can see it continuing on for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think, you know, the way we live now with the lifestyles of apartment living and people actually coming home from a long day at work, and that's the trouble with an outside garden. You know, when you said you lived in Canberra for a long time, seeing roses at night, not really achievable, but coming home to your apartment and seeing your green wall with dripping with jungle type vibes, it's nice to sit down, have a cup of tea and just look at your plants even in the evening.
Absolutely, and it probably takes the pressure off of people who live down south or colder areas of being in the cold.
Yeah,
if you can come home and you're going to be inside anyway.
Yeah. Are you, obviously you're still collecting, that's never going to stop, is it, Jim? It never does. It's a bug that doesn't ease off. But what are you chasing at the moment? What's on your hit list for 2020? Are you thinking, are you after anything super special?
I used to try and keep up with the Joneses,
yep,
and get this and get that. And I really started out with alocasias out here, but because of the temperatures, the range of 0 to 43 degrees, not so much with alocasias in the heat, but some philodendrons in the heat, they just don't like it. Spent a lot of money on heartache, kept tricking myself. No, you can get that tropical plant. No, don't buy that again. You can get that. So it took me about 3 or 4 years to learn that I'm just not going to too much get into ones that aren't suited to my environment.
Can you share a heartache story with me? I have lost a lot of money on Piper ornatums or Piper crocatums. I've tried that about 4 times and lost 3 Gygus cuttings. Bought from Neil Craft, and I'm embarrassed to tell him that, and he just laughs. But yeah, they're my bastard plants, and I've learnt the hard way that I have to give up on them. What have you lost? Share.
I lost all my varicosa last year.
Oh, God. Okay, that's harsh.
That was Squamaquil. I lost that as well. But that was a lot due to my hiatus, so that was disappointing. Probably other stuff I lost that I can't even remember because I subconsciously erased it from my mind.
Compartmentalised.
When I first moved out here, I got an alocasia robusta, and I just bought that, and within months I killed it.
Sick feeling.
Research afterwards, and it needs 3 mil every day, perfect drainage in some limestone rock substrate with a companion plant and
classical music played to it. Yeah, yeah.
It's just foolish. So
I have also lost bought them from Michael Pascal, and I actually filmed my daughter unboxing a tricolour pictum. It was, yeah, knee-high to a grasshopper, but, yeah, he was an arsehole plant too and died on me despite living in a 5-star hotel in a heated glass house, and still a bit bitter about that. But yeah, I know, and that's for me my difficulty is you think, oh, well, I've got a heated glass house, I've bought a fogging machine, Jim. Sold my kidney to get that one. So it's fogged, it's heated, and he still died. So, you know, it's just you've got to realise your limits. It's hard, though. You sometimes don't quite know where the limit is. But
exactly right. Yeah. So just about researching, which I don't do all the time, but just in general, I try to create a microclimate. Unfortunately, I've got these – well, unfortunately and fortunately, I've got these queen palms here.
Right.
But if they weren't here, then my plants would be getting fried in the garden.
Yeah, they give you that canopy of shade.
Well, they do. The berries are a nightmare and they're not self-cleaning. But anyway, there's nothing I can do until other palms grow up to create that, and I can chop them down. So you just work with what you've got and you go from there and make the best of it.
Do you but as we said earlier, there's no nursery that exists anymore that you can walk into and go, oh, wow, there's a super rare philodendron that I don't have in my collection for a reasonable price. So are you just like the rest of us following a couple of Facebook groups or a member of certain Facebook groups to see if there's anything that strikes your fancy and maybe having a look at eBay every now and then? That's really your only way to get really cool stuff these days in Australia, isn't it?
It is.
Friendships too with fellow collectors?
Swapping. What I've told people, aneroids were first coming popular again is, I guess with Facebook you get instant gratification.
Yep.
And it's there, bang, you can buy it, and you just, and that's it. It took years to develop relationships with people. I've always been swapping with Michael, and that's been, and I always swap with other people or give whatever with other people, because if I lose it, I know where I can say, hey, mate, I've lost mine. Can I get that back? And vice versa. And that's the beauty of it all. But that was all about relationships then.
Yes. It's...
It seems to have changed a little now, although my relationships with people of that ilk hasn't changed.
No. It's something to be said, and I don't know if it's generational. I'm 40. I'm predisposed to enjoying a chat. I'm a huge small talker, you know, so much to my kids getting annoyed. But if you're not predisposed to that, and it can be a bit frustrating to have that approach. So I think it's a mixture of personality type and just slowing down in life and just getting to know people. But, you know, with the advent of Instagram, direct messaging, Facebook, it has changed the way people interact. But, yeah, it does – it feels a bit funny when you approach straight up for the world's rarest plants. I think you'd – if you hope you don't mind me sharing a story where you had someone just happen to come across your property and hit you up for, I think, the top 10 rarest plants that collectors have to have in Australia at the moment. Is that right? Yeah.
On the fish tank next door and just happened to stop without, they didn't even know who I was or Tambourine Tropicals.
Yeah.
They just seen the garden, seen philodendrons, pulled up and bought a Ilsa Manii, Stair and Anther and Clarinervia.
Yeah.
And away they went.
Gave you the shopping list. And
gave me the shopping list. Yeah. And I said, how long have you been to plans? He said, oh, 2 months.
Yeah.
That's
that instant gratification. Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, that is what it is, and it'll only be more that way.
Yeah, I know.
But there are little nurseries out there. Every time I go to I travel a bit sometimes from Sunshine Coast down to the Gold Coast or northern New South Wales, I'm always on the lookout for a nursery, and it takes me 30 seconds to look through a nursery. Just bang, do the beady-eyed all the way around really quickly. But there's something that I know is different or I can see.
Yeah.
But 95% of the time it's all the tissue cultured list that I get emailed daily anyway.
Yeah, it's the road signs. I've passed – there's one up the road from you, actually. I'll ask you about later what they sell. But if I see plants, I feel like hitting the brakes and pulling in. Saw one the other day and the kids screamed no. Still thinking about that one. But, yeah, I love it. You never know what's in there.
Well, we went to Spectrum the other day to get some plants the other weekend, and there was just a plant sign on the side of the road, someone's house, plants all everywhere and pots out the front of it, and I picked up 5 green forms Alocasia severinus.
Oh.
Not the ones that you get it, buddy.
Yeah.
Brown. I used to have it. I lost it for a couple of years. So there are those, and like you said, you've just got to slam on the brake.
Carefully slam on the brakes. Yeah, I don't care. In a family mobile, but I know, and I've said this before, I have to apologise for repeating the story, but, yeah, Neil Crafter has a story of going into a garage sale with his partner. And she, in fact, similar to your case, spotted Ilsa Manii in the garden, just growing happily. And the lady who had the garage sale was happy enough to give Neil a couple of cuttings. But I'm sure there are hundreds, thousands of just grandmother's-type gardens where absolute treasures exist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the stuff of dreams, isn't it? Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, oh.
But there is those little gardens and private sellers like that that may not even be on Facebook because they're aged or whatever. And they're always worth an investigation because there's less and less of them these days. And whenever you see one, it's always, you never know, you might pick up a gem.
Jim, the Aroid Society, you're a member, as am I. What do you think, you know, what, for 2020, and I feel like Queensland is HQ for the Aroid Society, and I don't wish to offend anyone listening from the southern states, but, you know, the plants we love do best here. What's ahead for 2020? And now, are you, now forgive my ignorance, are you on the committee at the moment?
Yes, we've got a committee meeting next Saturday. There's a bus trip coming up in February locally, another meeting in February. It's been going great.
Membership is increasing just upwards?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great.
And it's just expanding into the states, so the states have more function. New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, and WA for the main. Well, I don't think we have many. We might have two in Northern Territory. But, yeah, it's just trying to get those states to get going, their reps to get more functions happening, even to swap or whatever. And then the committee and the society supports that financially and whatever they need.
We had a cracker of a Christmas do, and I'm sure all the states had a similar, you know, the funding given by the committee to each state to contribute towards, you know, meat and drinks. It's fabulous. It was, you know, really, the payback is tenfold on your membership fees. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great society to be part of.
And, you know, the state reps do really well. I think we've got a lovely even spread across some really active members, the stalwarts in each state and territory. And I think it's wonderful. So if you haven't joined, please go on the website. Is membership like $28 a year? Something ridiculous like that.
$25 for single and $30 for a family.
It's and just actually hang out with like-minded people who you could probably even get a swap from in future. You know, just to grow your network, meet other enthusiasts, and you know who knows where that's going to lead to. If anything, a day out and seeing someone's awesome collection when you get to know them.
Oh, that's right. Because back in the day, you didn't know many people, then you could just go and have a look and see their garden and chat to like-minded people and read these botanical names. But to actually talk to someone and pronounce it or learn the pronunciation is something completely different. A lot of my botanical names are autocorrect now.
On the yeah, I bet.
But to say Thaumatophyllum, Thaumatophyllum, you know, it's good to hear the pronunciation and to pronounce it yourself.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And basically more of the same is what the committee's going to do, isn't it? Just really encourage the memberships grow. Are we at a couple of thousand now, members, or not quite yet?
I'm unsure.
Yeah, I certainly feel like it's growing. But, yeah, cracker Christmas function, great raffles at each state that they have. And I know I've been to a couple of the meetings in the Queensland, not Far North Queensland group, but you'll have guest presentations a couple of times a year as well where someone like Neil Crafter or every Michael meeting. See, look at that. That's and where you can come along. And I'm thinking you're recording it now as well. Is that right? So people
right,
from other states?
Live to the Facebook members page. Some people get confused for the Aroid Society of Australia community.
Right.
It's just for everybody.
Okay.
If to, you don't have to be a member of the ASA.
Okay.
And then if you're a member of the ASA, then you've got the ASA members page, ASA marketplace.
Yes.
And if you're a financial member, then you get to see the if you're in Melbourne and you can't attend the Brisbane
yep.
meeting, then you get to see the speaker live, get the newsletters that come out.
That's awesome. So if you come from your lounge room, you can watch the presentation, save yourself an airfare.
Well, exactly.
Although you do miss out on autumn plants that are for sale.
Well, there are some good sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd like to endeavour to have regular meetings in all states.
Yeah.
They can be supported by the committee and have these awesome plants down there available as well. And the prices, as you know, are quite reduced compared to...
Absolutely. And that alone is worth joining because you can get some really stunning collector's plants. I wanted to thank you, Jim, for taking the time. After you've been at work all day. I'm on holiday, so it's no skin off my nose, but you've been working hard all day for me to hit you up as soon as you come home to record this. I'm really grateful. It's so nice to visualise Tambourine Tropics in the flesh and it's just so relaxing sitting in your garden. In the early evening, just around, I can hear crickets starting to, is it crickets chirping in the background, or cicadas, and birds are chirping.
Crickets or cicadas.
You do live in paradise, Jim, and thank you again for your work, voluntary work on the committee, along with all the other members.
And that's right, everyone.
Everyone's a volunteer. Absolutely.
And the committee, especially when it started, were donating plants. I know even Trevor Crawford, he donates plants to every auction.
Yeah.
The auction. So the committee works for free and donates their time and plants. So, yeah.
Well, it's a fabulous thing. And you're always very approachable, Jim. I met you for the first time 2 years ago at the inaugural AGM at Trevor Crawford's house in his leatherworking tool shop. Right. And that was really spectacular. That was a corker of a couple of auctions at the end there. I came home with a lot of plants. But Jim, thank you so much. And as we said, if you'd like to follow Jim and buy some of Jim's plants, Tambourine Tropicals on Facebook, and an amazing collection of plants that you make available for sale, and I still think very reasonable prices. You have set prices. You don't do auctions, Jim, which is a bit of a refreshing change. Well, I'll say ta-ra from here, Jim, and thank you for having me at your house.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.